Amen.
Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. I've seen several people that Brother Forrest asked me to greet, so I'll just say Brother Forrest said to greet the church. It's certainly good to see you, brother. I walked in that back room and my heart just leaped in my chest.
Amen.
And of course it's good to see everybody.
Thank you,
there's
Jesus.
Some people that you meet and it just makes an impression on your heart.
Yeah. Praise God.
Certainly good to be here. Just a little nervous. You can always standing before the bride of Christ, his wife. You don't want to do anything to anything wrong or say anything wrong.
Right.
So we just approach tonight's word with reverence.
Yes.
Believing that the Lord will be with us.
Thank you, Lord.
That he's laid some things on our heart. And we'll just get right to that. Revelations 3, verse 14.
Amen.
All the scriptures are for us, to us, but some scriptures are just straight directly to us.
That's right.
And I really like those ones that stand out because they're right to us. And this is one of those that you know, they all apply to us, like I said. But this one is just right. It's just a message that we should just just hold it in our heart and just live our lives by this, by these words right here. And Brother Tony, I'm not even going to mess with this thing.
That's fine.
Just one more distraction. Revelations 3 and 14. The angel of the church, the Laodiceans, write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Notice that they put themselves in a condition. They say, "I'm this and that and the other." And the Lord Jesus is saying, "You're not that."
That's right.
And not, what's Amen. Worse than that is you don't even know that you're not these things that you testify
right.
of. Yeah. "I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see us. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Remember, if he loves you, he rebukes.
That's right.
Amen.
He chastens. Mm-hmm. He's not doing it out of a hate, but it's love. And when he sends a minister to come and talk to you, and when those things burn and they cut, it's out of love.
Yes. Amen.
"As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be Thank zealous, you, therefore, and repent." Brother Branham said that the zeal of the hour is to repent. If you want to know who's the true believers in this hour, look and see who's repenting.
Amen.
That's the zeal of this hour.
That's
Here's
right.
where I want to... "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcome will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne."
Amen.
And if you'll bow your heads with me. Lord, we love you. We appreciate all the things that you've done for us. Ask that you just come tonight, Lord, knowing that you're here already, but we ask that you come in a way that you can help me to move out of the way.
Amen.
You can talk to your bride tonight, Lord, that your wife is standing right here. We believe it with all of our heart. Believe that the days are just coming close, that you'll just step with us and we'll just step right out of here. And we believe that this word is what's getting us ready for it. So, Lord, help us with this word tonight so we can get ready and draw closer to you. Lord, we pray that you bless our pastor tonight as he stands here. Lord, help him over this flock, Lord, and each one here. Bless each one that's come tonight, Lord, to hear your words. In the name of Jesus. God bless you, saints. You can be seated. Just looking at these things, and I had a way I was going to go and was laying on the bed last night, and the Lord just come by, and it was like a wave that just come by and just washes all of the things that's in your mind away.
Yeah.
And then he just washes all that away, and then he comes. So I'm kind of scattered. I've got electronics, I got paper, I got notebooks and books. So we'll try to keep this together if the Lord will help me here. He says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." And you know, this message to the age of the Laodiceans was There was a power that came with that message. Brother Branham said there was the beast that was in Revelations, with each one of them was an anointing. It represented an anointing.
Right.
In the first age, they had the anointing of a lion. That they would have the boldness of a lion. That the lion was a king of the jungle. And when he spoke, he said everything else was silent. And when Paul would speak, all of those other men's voices, they became silent because of the anointing of God was that lion. Amen. And they couldn't speak.
Right.
But the men that were believers and the women that were believers and that believed in the Lord Jesus, when they heard that voice, all they could do is just bow down to that voice.
Yeah. Right.
But they had that anointing and the boldness of a lion to lead. And then the next age, they had the calf. He said it was the face of a calf or an ox, and they were a birding that when Satan would come against them, that like a flood, he said, I would raise a standard against it. And the standard in that age was an anointing of an ox, that they could be a burden, they could be a sacrifice.
Right.
And it's hard to us to imagine that a mother can sit and watch her children being cut open. And a man can watch his wife being cut open. And they said that they cut them open and that the babies would spill out and they would feed them to the wild dogs.
Right.
And if we can't even fathom that we could just stand there and have a testimony of Christ, that we could stand there and watch our children being burned, watch them being destroyed, and stand there while they destroy us and destroy this body and burn it. But they had an anointing for that age.
Right.
They had that ox anointing, that standard come against them.
Yeah.
They come against that power.
Amen.
And then the next age, he said every time Satan would come in like a flood, there would be a standard set against him.
Right.
And the next age was the anointing of a man, the intelligence of a man. And so, you know, what is that, brother? Well, you know, I use a Strong's Concordance. I use the King James Version Bible. I use all of these references and these books and his histories and Nelson's books of maps and all these things. That all come out of the anointing of man.
Right.
Can you imagine if we've all seen the Strong's Book of Concordance? It's that big.
Yeah.
Every single word that's in the Bible is in there, and the definition of it, and where it came from, the Greek and the Hebrew, and all of these things, and all of these maps, and all this history that these men dedicated their lives.
Yeah.
Things that we can't even fathom doing.
Right.
How did a man could write these things, and just every waking moment was dedicated to this. And they would translate the Bible into English. And the men gave their life because of the church of Rome. They found out they were translating this Bible for people to read in their own language. And they destroyed their bodies.
Right.
And they had an anointing.
Praise God.
And then in the last age, here comes another anointing. Brother Branham says the flying eagle.
Right.
The Bible says that flying eagle came. And when the enemy came like a flood, there was a standard came and rised up against him. Of course, we know the standard. There's always a standard bearer. And the standard bearer in war, he's the one that carries the flag. And we thank God for the man that would come and he carry the flag. And we can look to that flag. We can look to the standard. And we'd know how to live. We would know what to do. We'd know how to raise our children.
Right.
We would know how to conduct our church services. Amen. We would know how to do all things. But here's the standard bearer going before us. And in battle, the man that carried the flag, he had a tremendous job. Because he didn't have the armament to fire against him. His hands were full of the standard that he had to raise. So the other men had to defend him. And I'm asking you, who's tonight that's here to defend the standard bearer for this
Amen.
Age? Who's here tonight that can stand with me and say, we defend this message
Amen.
When it's come under attack like never before? That used to, when I was a child, when men would fall away, they would just fall away and you never heard about them before. But now they can't just fall away, but they got to come against this message.
Right.
They got to go out on the internet and find things that they think are mistakes. And they got to say, you know, Brother Branham lied here, or he's not saying here, but we have a power. We have an anointing.
Amen.
An eagle anointing. We can spread those wings and fly above those things.
That's so right.
They weren't making these things up. This is the truth. Amen. That you can stake your eternal life on this message.
That's right. Amen.
That's the standard bearer for our age.
Amen. Yes.
But the flying eagle, it's the greatest anointing, greater than Paul. And, you know, the church world, if I told them that, if I went to a Baptist church and said that Brother Branham had a greater anointing and he had a greater office than Paul, they would throw me out. They would say I was blaspheming.
Right.
But think about it. Paul said he was caught up to a third heaven.
Uh-huh.
And he said that he heard unspeakable words, which are not lawful for men to utter. Think about it.
Yes.
He gets caught up in a vision. He goes into the third heaven. And he can't tell us about it. All he can say was, I was there.
Yep. Yes.
But there was words spoken there that I can't say.
That's right.
Because, you know, even though I'm anointed by God, my anointing is not great in enough. The time has not come. The dispensation of the age has not come yet. So it's unlawful. It's unspeakable words.
Right.
But we had a man in this age. We had an eagle come, and he could fly up to that. When he said I was low one day, and I was feeling like, you know, here you're almost 50 years old, and what have you done for the Lord?
Yeah.
Brother Tony, the man had won 3 million souls to Christ by that time.
Right.
And here he was saying, what have I done for the Lord? And he said when I was feeling low, that the Lord took me up, took me past the curtain of times, and he said, and there I saw you. You.
Yes.
All of my life, I thought he was talking about dead people up there. I thought he said he saw that 90, that woman that was 90, and she was a young woman. He saw his wife there. He saw his daughter there. I thought all this time he was talking about dead people. But then he says in the message, he said, I was feeling low, and the Lord took me past the curtain of time, and I saw all of you there. He saw me there.
Amen.
He saw you there. He said, all of the believers there. He said, I preached what Paul preached, and he said, the millions of voices raised up and said, we're resting on that. And I believe tonight that my voice was there.
Amen.
I have a body. I have a representation over there that was saying, I'm resting on that. And
Amen.
Tonight I'm resting
Hallelujah.
On that. And
right.
What he said was only what Paul preached, and that is my eternal salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But we had a greater anointing. All of these other creatures, the lion, he's earthbound. The ox is earthbound. The ox is just, he just led. Somebody has to lead a sacrifice. And then he's done. The man is earthbound. The only thing that he has is an imagination that he can soar with. But his imagination is confusing when it comes to God.
Amen.
But here we have an eagle anointed. Brother Van said he had two wings. He could spread his wings and he could go up and up. Up, and he could see a greater vantage point. I was thinking about these things, and I was reminded of a telescope that back when I was a teenager, I was in high school, and they was the science teacher was all excited, and we got to watch NASA, and they put a telescope up in space.
Right.
They call it the Hubble telescope, because for thousands of years, men had looked up in the sky, and they saw points of light, but that's all they could see. And every once in a while, a man named Galileo, he made a telescope that he could see a little bit further.
Yeah.
You know, like Luther, he could see a little bit farther.
Right.
Wesley could see a little bit farther, and they could make a bigger lens, and they could see a little bit farther. But the point, they got to a point where they were had telescopes in which the glass was bigger than this room, but they could only see so far.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they were looking through an atmosphere.
Right.
Because all of their telescopes were ground-based.
Uh-huh. Right.
So everything, all of these men of the gospel in ages past, they was ground-based.
Amen.
So they was looking at things through an atmosphere.
Right.
They were on the earth. And when they were trying to look, they had to look through the air. They had to look through the pollution. They had to look through the clouds.
Right.
They had to look through the smoke of the chimneys. They had to look through the filth of this world.
Yep.
The filth of their own life. And they had to look through these things and try to judge the heavenlies.
That's right.
But they couldn't see very clearly. They thought they knew this and they thought they knew that. But one day an astronaut went up.
Amen.
One day an astronaut went up and they put a telescope up there. And here we have the Hubble telescope, and it's above all of these things.
Right.
And he can see above the filth of this world, the atmosphere of this world.
Amen.
And he gazes, and all of a sudden, men from thousands of years ago had questions, and now we know the answer.
Right.
How are stars born?
Right.
How do stars die?
Right.
What happens when they explode? We have all of these answers that we can see because we don't have to look through the atmosphere of Earth. And we can
That's
see
right.
so much farther.
That's right.
Now, think about this. Think about a man standing in his backyard with a pair of binoculars. Now imagine I'm standing in my yard and I'm looking up at Mars in my binoculars. And I would call NASA. And I would say, y'all made a mistake. I can see something that y'all didn't see from the Hubble telescope. Now imagine how they would laugh at me.
Yeah.
How they would say, you're a fool.
Right.
To stand there on the earth with a pair of binoculars and say that you can see better than the Hubble telescope.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, think about the preachers
Amen.
Of this message that was in alliance with the prophet. And they will stand in the pulpit and say, I have a greater understanding. Brother Brennan was wrong here. The cloud wasn't right. He was fake. It was a rocket explosion. That he was wrong here and he was wrong there. That you can wear makeup or you can cut your hair. You can trim your dead ends. You can have a television.
What they're doing is they're standing and they're looking through the field and the smog and the smoke of this world. And they're saying, I see clearly. I see more clearly than the prophet. But the prophet is above all of these things. And he looked down and he said, this is the truth of the thing.
Amen.
Right. And we got preachers that are standing in the pulpit and they're leading whole congregations this way. Leading congregations that way. And I say, stand with this prophet.
Amen.
With this message. Amen. If that man takes one step out, if he don't step back in line, you step somewhere else.
Amen.
Step where you got a man that'll stand right in line.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Said, you stay with your pastor and he'll see you through.
Right.
But he'll only see you through if he stays with this message.
That's right. Amen.
We got churches in this message is kicking out the organ, kicking out the piano, kicking out the altars.
Yes.
Right.
And what are they doing? They're kicking these things out. These things are of God. And when you kick something of God out, something of the world comes in.
That's right.
They're taking altars out of their churches and putting televisions in their home. They're taking pianos out of their churches and taking singing out of their churches. Taking free worship, taking tongues and interpretation.
Yeah.
You rise up in some of these churches and give a prophecy, they'll kick you out.
But
when they kick you out, more Satan comes in.
That's right.
Until the point that you can't even identify whether a Baptist or a message.
Right, that's right.
Yes.
But we got an anointing eagle in this age. Amen. We got a man that can see farther than I. He can see a whole lot farther than if anybody can see anything, he can see it, and I see the least of all. But if I'll just go with what he said.
Amen.
If I'll just preach the gospel according to Malachi 4 and 5.
Amen.
Then I don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I don't have to worry about new doctrine.
Right.
Brother Tony, I don't have to come up with something new and then wonder and spend the rest of it and lay at bed at night and hope that somebody don't find a quote against it.
Right.
Because all of my doctrine has got quote for it.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
But these men, they think they can see better than the eagle. But they're blind.
Right.
And they don't know it. It's one thing. I went to a church and I was preaching and there was a lady in the back and she was blind. I got thinking about a scripture back in Ezekiel. He said, we grope in the daytime as if we have no eyes. We grope as if we're blind. And in Revelation it said they're blind and they don't know it. And I got to thinking about a blind person. How they can't see. So they grope. And when they're walking, they're always having to feel where the pulpit is. They got to feel.
Yeah.
They got to grope. Nothing against blind people, but that's the only way they can get around.
Right.
They got to feel for these things. Uh-huh. And the problem is, they don't know they're blind. These people that are spiritually blind.
Right.
So they're groping and they don't know it. They're walking around and they can't see. But he says, we have an eye. That God has sent seven eyes.
Right.
And we can see. But instead of using that eyes, they'll go by their feelings instead.
Yeah. Right.
So when their daughter says, Mom, I got a boyfriend. He's a Baptist. She says, well, I feel like it's going to be okay. I feel like that maybe he'll come into the message. And the prophet of God said, don't be unequally yoked.
Right.
Don't marry the people outside of your faith. And
they'll say,
you know, Dad, I feel like, I think my children are missing out on television programs. So Dad will say, you know, son, you know, if you're really sealed with the Holy Ghost, I feel like it'd be okay to move a television into your home.
Right.
But he's blind.
Right.
He's groping. Right. He's going by feelings, and he don't know, and he's leading his children astray. So then you have the mother that says, you know, my children, they're in my hair. I don't know what to do with them. So I'll get a monitor, and I'll give them some good Christian cartoons, and they can learn about Jesus from these cucumber.
Right.
There's a program where they have a cucumber that teaches children about Jesus.
Come on.
You know, I wasn't taught by Jesus from a cucumber.
Right.
I got a prophet that came from heaven. A star that came down from heaven and taught me about the message of the hour.
Yeah.
And taught me who Jesus is.
Right.
I don't need a cucumber.
Amen.
I don't need a cartoon character.
Amen.
I don't need Hollywood.
Right.
Brother Branham said that Hollywood was Satan's seat. So why would we let Hollywood? Why are we going to let Satan's seat tell us about our children, about Jesus Christ?
Come on.
Well, we got the very seat of heaven. We got the throne of heaven that's come down and told us about these things.
Hallelujah.
That's the eagle
Praise
anointing.
God.
He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door." I've always heard that the emphasis is you just open the door. Just open the door. Christ is knocking. Just open the door. But you can't just open the door, because he says, if any man will hear my voice and open the door. We got a lot of men that's opening the door, but they're hearing a different voice.
Yeah.
They're hearing the voice of Satan. See, Satan, God's got one voice. Satan's got millions of voices.
Right.
You can turn on the radio, the television. You can walk down the street. Every church is just full of voices. It's Satan's voices.
Right.
So we got men that they're hearing the wrong voice.
Right.
And they're opening the door. And if you open the door to the wrong voice, what's coming in?
Right.
It's not God. It's Satan's coming in. And that's why we got so many people that's going astray.
Yeah.
Right. Hear my voice.
Amen. Hearing.
Yes.
Hearing that voice is obeying that voice. In the church age book, in the Overcomer of the Laodicean Church Age, page 360, he reads the scripture. He says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am sitting down with my Father in his throne." And he says, now, what are we to overcome? This is the prophet. This is our eagle anointing here. What are we to overcome? He said, this is the normal question to ask here. That's the normal question. But we're not normal people. We're abnormal people.
Yeah.
You know, if people in the world think you're normal and you fit right in and you blend in, something's wrong, because
that's
we're
right.
not normal.
Right.
We're abnormal. If you want to know if your faith is right, are you right with Christ? Do you fit in out there? Can you walk down the mall and not turn heads to see what's different about you?
Right.
Then something's wrong.
Lord help us.
He said the normal question to ask here is, what are we to overcome? Now listen to this. But that is not the actual thought of this verse. For it is not so much what we are to overcome, but how do we overcome?
Amen.
He said, now this, he says, what does it matter what we are to overcome? As long as we know how to overcome it. So we focus on what we got to overcome. What do I got to battle? And the prophet of God is saying, don't focus on what you got to overcome. He says, focus on how you overcome.
Right.
Amen.
My mom was a nurse, and she had a book from her nursing days, and it had it was bigger than the Strong's Concordance.
Wow.
In all the words of the Bible, there's more diseases than there are words in the Bible.
Wow.
And this book is just, there's an encyclopedia of diseases and disorders and cancers and just all of these things that can go wrong with the body. They're coming up with them faster than they can write them down in books.
Right.
Because there's 200,000 demons that's been released upon us.
Yeah,
so she had these books of all the diseases that the nurses had to learn about. And then on the other side of the bookshelf was a book of pills and medicines and salves, ointments. And this book it wasn't just one book, but it's another set of books. And I got to looking at that, and I said, how can any man learn these things?
Right.
When you go to the doctor and he has to, now they use a computer, but it's the same thing. They're pulling out a book and they're matching these symptoms. And they're saying, well, he's got these symptoms, and they match up, and you put them together, and it might be this disease, but it could be this disease. So we go to this book and we say, you know, he's an alcoholic, so he's got to do a 12-step program.
Yeah.
See, that's the way they think about these things. You got to focus on what you got to overcome and how you overcome that thing. He said, don't focus on what you overcome, but how you overcome.
Amen.
So a man's an alcoholic. Go to the Baptist church. Maybe it's tonight to pick on the Baptist church, but listen to how you go to the Baptist church, and what do they sponsor in their churches? The Alcoholics Anonymous. You go in there and you go to their meeting, you got to stand up, and your first day there, you would stand up, and it's a great step for you to do this.
Yeah.
Men might go there for a year before they had the courage to stand up and say, my name is so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they put you on, once you get to that step, that's the first step. And then you got 11 more steps. And when you get to the 12th step, then you're a full-fledged member of AA. And you can come to these meetings. You can go any place and go to AA meeting. But the first thing you do, you walk in there to these men and women that they're ate up with alcoholism. Their marriages and their children are gone and their lives are destroyed with alcoholism. Right. And you haven't taken a drink in 15 years. And you're their sponsor tonight. You're the man that's going to stand up and give them encouragement and teach them how to overcome alcoholism. So the first thing you do is you stand up and say, my name is so-and-so. I'm an alcoholic.
Right.
And for the rest of your life, that's how you greet them people. My name is so-and-so. I'm an alcoholic. And that's the 12-step program. But we got a one-step program.
Amen.
One
Amen.
Step toward the cross. And he said, you're not an alcoholic. Amen. My name's John Bailey. I'm not an alcoholic.
Amen.
I never was an alcoholic. He said it went back to the original. And the original was Satan. That's all those things are on his back now.
Yes. Yes. Amen. That's right.
How do we overcome? Don't you take all these diseases. And then you got all these pills and you got to match them up just right. And all of these books. But I got one book.
Glory to God.
It don't matter what disease I have.
Yeah.
It don't matter what ailment.
Right.
It don't matter what cripples my body. It don't matter what cripples my mind. It don't matter what habit I acquire. It don't matter what thought comes in my mind. It don't matter what kind of condition I got. All the solutions are the same. I don't need a whole book of pills.
Amen.
It's one solution, and that one solution is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
So whatever ails you tonight.
Yes. Amen.
He said, don't worry about the problem. It's how we overcome.
Amen.
And part of that overcoming is if any man hear my voice. Can you hear the voice tonight?
Amen.
You got to hear the voice. And you got to obey the voice. See, the problem today is people want to obey certain parts of the voice.
Come on.
Right.
When it comes down to obeying the voice, they want us, the part about just speak the word. They like that. Mm-hmm. They want to obey that part. They want to speak a car into existence. They want to speak a nice house into existence. They want to speak a job into existence. But there's more than just speaking the word. Who's obeying that voice.
Yes, amen.
So what we have now is you have preachers that will say, you don't have to listen to this part of the message.
Yes.
Brother Branham didn't know what he's talking about here because he lived in the 50s and 60s and we live in the 2000s.
Right.
God don't care about time. Jesus Christ was here when time started. He was here before time started, and he'll be here after what time.
That's
so don't worry about what these creatures of time think. Worry about what God thinks.
Amen.
You know, I remember when I was just a child, Brother Darris preaching, and he said, these women come to me and say, Brother Darris, it's the 1980s. And because it was the 1980s, he was supposed to give them a pass on sin. And he was supposed to let them, you know, in the 80s, they had the big hair. They had hair. If you look at the pictures of the women in the 80s, their hair was just big. And they had poofs and curls and everything. And here we had a man of God that was stood in the pulpit and blasted against that thing.
Praise
and the
God.
Teenagers would stand in there and they'd say, he's picking on me. He's not picking on you, sister. He's not picking on you.
Right.
He's telling you how to overcome. He's telling you that when you have that hair that matches, you know, today's hair is different than the 80s hair, but it's the same spirit.
Right.
It's one of our young girls. It's one of our ladies to look like the world. That's the whole thing. It's not. He don't want you to look ugly. He don't want you to be ashamed of yourself. He wants you to look nice. But he said, don't follow the fashion of the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right, amen.
In the 80s, the girls I grew up with, they wanted to look like that. They wanted to have, they would take their bangs and they would make a big ball. And then they would put a curl in it. Some of y'all remember this. And they would put, if you had stock in a hairspray company in the 80s, you were doing very well in mousse. And they would get it permed. And they would mousse it so it looked like it was wet all the time. And they looked like a poodle's haircut.
Yeah.
And we look back on it now. And we laugh.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But we see our young people that want to look like the style of 2014.
Yes.
And just in a few years, you're going to look back and you're going to laugh and say, I was going to risk my soul for a poodle's haircut.
Right.
I was risking my soul so I could have hair on my shoulders. I was going to risk my soul to look like the Beatles. I was going to risk my soul to look like Justin Bieber.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
I was going to risk my soul to look like Hannah Montana.
Lord, oh, Jesus.
Hannah Montana grew up to be Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this girl. Look at the debauchery that's happened over the last 2 years in that girl's life.
Yep.
You know, it's the things that she's done, even, they had to block it out to even put it on the news. It's filthy as the news is.
Right.
They had to block it out because it's so filthy. And I hear people in the church saying, where did she go wrong? Where did she go wrong? She was such a sweet little girl when she was Hannah Montana. I'll tell you where she went wrong. She went wrong when she was a little girl named Hannah Montana, and we were preaching against it, and you were getting mad at us because we wouldn't let your young girls watch it. That's where she went wrong.
Right.
We
That's
can just
right.
now see the you can see the curvature of where it took her.
Right.
15 years ago, she was right here, and it was so close. It wasn't so bad.
Right.
But you had preachers that said, don't let your daughters watch Hannah Montana. Because we knew the projection. Because we got an eagle anointing in this thing.
Yes.
We got an anointing. We can, when you're going down the road, you can only see to the next hill. But an eagle flies over and he sees what's over the hill.
Amen.
And we saw where it was leading. And we see where it was leading these young girls. Because there are girls that were in message churches.
Right.
And they had the latest Hannah Montana video. And now they got the latest Miley Cyrus YouTube video. And where are they now?
Right.
Come on.
Back 10 years ago,
Lord Jesus, help.
When she was just a preteen, and it was so cute, and we were letting them emulate that, that's where she went wrong.
Yes.
Right,
that's where we went wrong as parents.
Right.
Right, amen.
But thank God for the men that would stand and pound the pulpit and say, don't let your daughters watch that.
Amen.
Whatever's coming out today, don't let them watch it.
Glory
even though
God.
It looks clean, it looks pretty close. Pretty close ain't good enough in this age. Pretty close to send you to hell.
Amen.
It's got to be spot on to this message.
Amen.
Those men like that will let their congregations. Brother Branham said that you men that'll let your wives dress like that. And I'm going to apply that as a tact. You preachers.
Right.
To let your church dress like that.
Right.
Act like that. And ain't got enough backbone of the Holy Spirit to stand against it.
Right.
He said it shows what kind of man you are.
Right.
It
says you're a hireling. To pick and choose the message.
Right.
Stand on the pulpit and put out videos on the internet. Don't let your children look at those videos.
Amen.
Don't let them. Well, you know, there's people on the internet that's saying that Brother Branham was a liar.
Sure.
And that's the ones that's completely out. But now we got some that claims to be in and they're saying he's a liar.
Come on.
And so we're going to let our children listen to that and say we're going to help them to decide. You're helping them, all right.
Sure.
You're helping them get out to the world. You're opening the door for
right.
them to just get right out because you're inviting doubt.
Amen.
If your son ain't filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and sealed down for his eternal life, don't expose him to that.
That's right.
Amen.
Because he don't have the Holy Ghost, he can't handle that. Because Satan is planting a seed in his doubt that Brother Branham might have been wrong on the date.
Right.
Right.
He might not have had a complete understanding of the White Horse Rider back in the 40s like he did in the 60s.
Right.
But you let your son get on there and read that stuff, or your daughter, or your wife, or you. Get on there and just confuse your mind. So then you got to stand in church. You sit back in the back or in the front or wherever you sit. And then when the preacher's preaching and he's reading quotes, if you can't rely on one quote, what good's the book?
Man.
I was witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness. They told me, he said, all of those men in the Old Testament went to hell. They cannot be saved. That's a Jehovah's Witness doctrine. That no man before Jesus Christ died on the cross can be saved. And I read a scripture in Matthew where it said that the saints of old
Right.
Their graves come open.
Right.
They come out of the graves.
Amen.
They went to the holy city and they were seen
Glory
by many.
God.
I read the scripture to him and he said, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I said, well, what do you do with it? I said, your doctrine says they went to hell. The Bible says they went to the holy city with him. And when he was resurrected, they were resurrected with him. And then when he ascended, they ascended with him to the holy
Glory
city.
To God, hallelujah. Praise
so what
Lord.
Do you do with that?
Thank you.
So he goes, he says, let me have a few days. And he comes back a few weeks later and he says, I've got two options here. He says, the Bible plainly says something that's against my doctrine. I said, well, what's your two options? And he said, well, one option is that they wrote it, that what he meant was when the earthquake happened, the earthquake when he died, and it says the graves were opened, and many of the saints came out of the graves. He said, what happened was that they didn't bury them deep enough, and the graves come open, and the bodies spilt out. And I said, well, what about the part where they went with him?
Right.
I said, now you've got dead bodies. It's going with him.
Yeah.
Into the holy city, and they were seen by many.
That's right.
And he said, well, that leads me to my second option, which I believe is the truth. And I said, well, tell me the truth then. He said, that was added later. That those two verses were added later.
Nonsense.
And that they don't belong in the Bible. And I looked at him and I said, if that those two verses are no good, then that whole chapter is no good.
Right.
And if that whole chapter is no good, then the whole book of Matthew is no good.
Amen.
And the whole book of Matthew is no good, then the New Testament's no good.
Right.
And if the New Testament's no good, then the whole Bible's no good, and we're all lost.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
And he went away like the rich young ruler.
Right.
In his heart he was sad because he couldn't explain to himself why the Bible said something that disagreed with his doctrine.
Right.
But what happened was, that was the wisdom of men. But that anointing is not on us today. Brother Branham said, we don't need any new interpretations of the Bible.
That's right.
We don't need any. We don't need it. After the King James Version, we don't need a new edition, he said.
Amen.
Because that anointing was for another day. So now we got men that think that they have that man's anointing instead of the eagle's anointing.
Yes.
Come on.
So they spend their whole life writing new doctrines about the message. They got new books on what Brother Branham meant. So what they got is they got an interpretation of the interpretation. I don't need an interpretation of the interpretation.
Praise
I just
the
need
Lord.
The interpretation.
Hallelujah.
Because when you get an interpretation of the interpretation,
Amen.
You get mistakes. You get wiggle tails in it. You get confusion.
Right.
So then you got to have another guy say, well, let's straighten up this confusion. Then another guy's got to straighten up his confusion. Next thing you know, you got the Tower of Babel.
That's
right.
That's right. Amen. That's
just
right.
Stick with one language, one creed, one doctrine,
Amen.
One book.
Amen.
That's the way I believe it.
Amen.
Amen.
Was he an eagle or not?
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Which man among us has flew as high as he has?
That's right.
To see as far as he has?
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Not one of us, I say.
Right.
That's right.
Because if there's a man that's got a greater understanding than the final prophet of the age, something's wrong somewhere.
Right.
If I've got a greater understanding or another revelation that the prophet of God had than what he had, we're all of most men most miserable.
Right.
But they bring a reproach on this message.
That's right.
I'm just going to bring it all into the message now. We're not worried about the Baptist. I'm preaching to the bride of Christ.
Right.
Preaching to his wife. These men and their doctrines and their letting down of the standards of what the prophet said, they're bringing a reproach.
That's right.
To this message.
Amen.
When you go and witness, I go and witness around Walnut Ridge, and I say, Brother David Morris is my pastor, and I say, I know some people that go there.
Yeah.
And they don't have to say anything else. Because I know those same people. Because they come to church and it's, oh, Brother David. Oh, Brother David. But when they're at the movie house, where's Brother David? When they're at the Water Ridge public swimming pool, and they're putting their boys in there with the teenage girls, and Brother David stands every summer, he has to say, don't take your kids to Lake Charles and swim.
Right.
There's nothing against letting your kids swim in the water, but take them to somewhere on the river where the water's clean and clear.
Right.
Where there's not a bunch of heathens around them, and they're not sitting there looking, and these teenage boys don't have to fight mind battles looking at these girls. Don't put them in that situation.
That's right.
Amen.
But every year, down at Lake Charles, our precious sisters, they're not doing it to be deliberately disobedient. But what it is, they feel like it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what's going to happen is they're going to be feeling around, and they're not going to feel it. And they're going to fall.
That's right.
That's exactly what happened.
We got an eagle anointing.
Right.
And that anointing is for all of us.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We don't get above our prophet. He's our eye.
That's right.
He's our seer.
Right.
That anointing didn't die when he died.
Amen.
That's right.
And there's not another anointing to come along with him. You know, the way some of these men act, you would think that the next chapter of Revelations after the Laodicean age would be called the Internet age. And there would be an Internet messenger. And then somebody would come along and say who this Internet messenger is because he had the most followers. Or he had the most likes. But there's not another book. There's not another age.
Amen.
There's not another chapter.
Amen.
Right.
It's sealed up. The seal's been broken. It's been handed to us. It's the words of eternal life.
Amen.
That's Amen. Right.
Obey the voice, God. And everywhere I go, you start preaching about young people, and people come to their feet. You start talking about how our young people, they need to get the seal of the Holy Ghost. And amen to that. Right. They sure do.
Yes.
Right.
But then you start talking about the elderly people.
Come on.
Then it gets real quiet.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they forget the quotes where Brother Branham said, you got to die daily. Yeah. That the zeal of the hour is to repent. Yes. He said, you need to be in an altar every day.
Right.
Yeah.
He said many times that Brother Branham was the first one at the altar when somebody gave a call. That the prophet of the age was the first one there. But nowadays, we got an age limit on the altar.
Come on.
Go somewhere and you preach a message and God pours his heart out and young people fill the altar up. And the elderly people just sit there.
Right.
Because they were filled 40 years ago.
Right.
And they're in the message now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're so holy.
Right.
And they look down at their nose at these people, these young people. They need what I got.
Uh-huh.
Lord help them if they get what you got.
That's right.
Yeah. If they get that old, mossy back, complacent spirit that you got,
right,
they're going to be just as miserable as you are.
That's right.
They're going to grow up to be old and cankerous and,
right,
and cranky. Brother Brown said, whatever you do, don't grow old and be cranky.
Right. Right.
Can you imagine getting to heaven, spending your whole life being cranky and sour and mad at everybody, and you get to heaven, and you find out you could have been glad and happy every day of your life.
Right.
But being cranky had nothing to do with this message. Being cranky, being pious, and being old, bald, drawn up, and mossy back, that ain't got nothing to do with the gospel.
Amen.
It's the spirit that gets on people.
Yes, sir.
That spirit gets on you so that the young people can look at you and say, I don't want what they got. I want what they got out there because they have fun out there. I tell you what, I've never had more fun than what I have up here.
Amen.
Right.
Man, I've had so much fun out in the world, but it don't compare to one day. I would trade my whole life out there for one day here.
That's right.
Under the anointing of God.
Amen.
Right.
And why would I spend it sitting on a church pew going, praise God, I'm in the message.
Right.
You need to get into it too. And them people over there, they're just in the flesh. Well, thank God that God falls on the flesh of men.
Right.
If I went for a couple of days and I didn't feel God on my flesh, I'd get down somewhere and I'd find me a dark closet and I'd shut off the world, I'd shut off my phone, I'd shut off the iPads and all these things that we got to distract us from the Word of God. We need to shut those things off and get a cup of coffee somewhere and say, God help me, I haven't felt you in a few days.
Yes, amen.
I want to feel you on this flesh.
Amen.
I want to feel you on this spirit.
Right.
I want to know that you're around.
Help
us. I want to know that you approve of me.
Right.
I don't want to be the elder that the young people look at and say, God, I don't want to be like that.
Lord Jesus.
I want to be the man that my grandmother died, Sister Annie Hoffman, a real warrior. She passed away just a few days ago. She passed away, I believe it was on a Wednesday. We was all in there on Tuesday. She had a mask. She couldn't hardly breathe and had to pump oxygen to her. And you could hear her, but it's hard to understand. So every once in a while, she'd have to take the mask off so you could. And she didn't have enough strength to do that, so somebody could reach over and say, let me get your mask, Grandma. And take the mask off of her. And you could hear her saying something, but you couldn't understand it. And they'd take the mask off, and she'd be saying, oh, God's been so good to me.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
She'd lay in the bed and she'd have somebody to help her lift her hand up. God's been so good to me.
Praise God.
Right.
In just a few hours, I'm going to be with him.
Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord.
She was testifying to the nurses about how the Lord saved her so many years ago, how she served him
Thank
ever since.
Lord.
That's right.
Oh, how good God's been to
Hallelujah.
Her.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And just down the hall, you hear people screaming.
Right.
Just go down another hall in the hospital and you see here a woman screaming in pain. Another one saying, I'm scared.
Right.
Right.
And you go in this old saintly woman's room. Just in a few hours, she's going to be passing from this life to the other. And she said,
Glory
oh, come here, son. Come here. And I had to lift her hands to put them around me because she wanted to hug me. And she said, I'm so proud of you. I'll see you in a few days.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's one of the voices up there that was saying, I'm resting on that.
Amen.
I'm resting
God.
On that.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
You want to be one of those people that go like that? Or do you want to be like the lady that Brother Branham talked about? That she started screaming to her pastor, you lied to me!
Right.
And they got the nurse in there and they gave her some injections to quiet her down.
Right.
And he said that was her chance.
Yes.
That was her chance. And they filled her full. They numbed her. And that's what this world is doing.
That's right.
That's what these churches are doing. These message churches that won't let you
right.
shout.
Yep.
These message churches that's that right. look down on you when you say amen.
Right.
These message churches that's getting rid of their altars. They're numbing you.
That's right.
They're numbing the people.
That's right.
They won't let people have fellowship. I talked to a man the other day and he said his pastor told him they couldn't talk. Once the only fellowship they could have was in the building. And once they left the door, they couldn't talk. They couldn't fellowship with one another. And they thought he meant that they couldn't fellowship with other churches. So they started doing that and he said, no, you can't fellowship among yourselves. Because you might say something against me.
Right.
And think about a man would put himself in that position and be so worried
God
that somebody might say what you want about me. God's already said it.
Amen.
God's already said everything about me. It don't matter what anybody in this world says.
That's right.
You can buy every billboard in America.
Yes.
You can rent every TV screen in America and put John Bailey as a liar.
That's right.
But God testifies of me.
Amen.
This message testifies of me.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. How do we overcome?
Thank you, Lord.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. It may seem like I'm going to work backwards here in the book of Ephesians, but Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't have to be weak.
Right.
We don't have to be weak, sniveling little things. Oh, Brother Tony, the devil's bill. Amen. It gets me this week. Oh, my God. Right. No. We can be strong in the Lord.
That's right.
Our physical condition has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
He don't say part of the armor. He don't say one person gets the shoes, another gets the helmet, and one gets the shield, and one gets the sword. He says, but put on the whole armor of God.
That's right.
And you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do you stand against the wiles of the devil? Put on the whole armor. There's not a different way. There's not another formula. There's not a book that you can read outside of the Bible.
Right.
But the whole armor of God is not Dr. James Dobson's program.
Right.
It's not TBN.
Right.
It's not it's not a prosperity message. But the whole armor of God is the word to this age.
Amen.
To
Amen.
This hour. The things that our prophet told us to do.
Right.
The whole armor.
Right. Amen.
From 1947 to 1965. Yeah.
Right.
Every bit of it. And the things that your preacher's been saying since then.
Right.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Think about that. Against principalities, powers. When Brother Darius used to preach this stuff, when I was a young man, he would start talking about the dragons and the demons and all of these symbols, and I had it in my mind. I had pictures of a red dragon, and I even drew these pictures and of soldiers. On knights on a horse, and all of these imps, and all of these things, all of these visions that we get in our head when we're talking about principalities and powers and the spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And I remember that when I started studying to preach the gospel, I remember thinking back to those days of how I had an image in my head, and I thought it was so intriguing of a red dragon. Of these beasts with horns and eyes and all of these things like that. They had these images. And all of a sudden I realized one night that those images, I got them from Hollywood. Yeah. I got them from books that I read. Mm-hmm. I got them from cartoons of that had dragons and warriors and Conan the Barbarian and things like that. And that most of my life I'd let Hollywood shape in my mind.
Right.
What the gospel was. The images that would come to my mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with the truth. The truth. Not an idea.
That's right.
Not somebody's creed or doctrine or something they come up with, but the truth.
Right.
The breastplate of righteousness.
Yes.
Righteousness. Righteousness, brother, is not, oh, I gave so much money to the church.
No, sir.
That's not my breastplate.
That's right.
He said, to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy is that what I did good last week is not going to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy.
Right.
How much money I put in the offering plate. Thank God for it.
Right.
How much tithes I pay. How many trips I take, how many people I go and visit and try to encourage, how many people come to the altar when I preach, that's not my righteousness.
Amen.
My righteousness is nothing less than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
The breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our righteousness. So, what do we got to do? We got to die.
Amen.
To our good deeds. Thank God for good deeds.
Right.
A Christian is going to have good deeds.
Right.
A Christian is going to do these things that we talk about. But he can't help it. Because the apple tree just makes apples.
That's right.
Orange tree just makes oranges. He don't go, oh, and just drain one out.
Right.
It just happens.
Right.
But this righteousness, put on the righteousness of Christ. How do you put on the righteousness of Christ?
Oh my, praise God.
Go home tonight and put on the invisible union.
Yes.
Amen.
Go home tonight and put on future home.
Yes.
How many people's ever took a week's vacation to study the seven seals? You know, we'll take a week's vacation to go to Branson.
Right.
Or take a cruise to the Bahamas and see all kinds of filth and debauchery.
Right.
But you want to put on the whole armor of God. Take a vacation day.
Right.
And get up in the morning. I remember I just started trying to preach the gospel, and it went pretty good. Brother Nathan said, "That was pretty good, son." But it just wasn't, it was just me. I had some good ideas. And one day, I got serious with God.
Praise God.
Brother David told me, he said, "Son, you think you can take Wednesday night service?" I said, "Yeah." I didn't even go to work. I took Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. My wife brought my meals to my room.
Praise God.
I didn't look at the internet. My phone was off. I didn't take calls. My wife would come in every once in a while with a plate and a glass of tea or some coffee. I kept my door locked. What was I doing? I was putting on the whole armor of God.
Praise the Lord.
And that time, if you've never done that, I'm not saying you got to take a whole week. I tell you what, if you take a day and dedicate it solely to the Lord, you've
yes.
done that. I know you've done that. Take That's a day right. and dedicate the whole day to the Lord without
yes.
a cell phone, without the internet, without all these gadgets. Take your Bible. Take your books and take some tapes.
Right.
Just let the Lord guide you on what you listen to.
Right.
Yes.
You do that a couple of times and it'll so refresh you.
Yes.
And instead of going, "Oh, Lord, I can't wait till June because we're going to Branson," you'd be going, "I can't wait till my next day off because me and the Lord."
Amen.
We're going to meet in that little room.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
we're
going sir.
To meet in that little room.
Amen.
Just
yes.
me and God.
That's right.
That's putting on the whole armor of God.
Lord Jesus.
Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes.
How are you going to shod your feet with the preparation of God of the gospel if you don't know what the gospel says?
Right.
If you've never looked at it. If you've never spent those days in labor with the Lord.
Yes.
And above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. I'm not much of a preacher, but that's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the sword of the Spirit. What about it? The Bible says it's quick. And that don't mean it's fast. All of my life I grew up thinking about this sword, it was so quick you couldn't see it. But it's alive.
Amen.
That word quick means alive. He said,
right.
"Who
yes.
you who have quickened?"
Right.
This word
right.
is alive. It's not something you just read and you just try to line up to. It's something you live.
Right.
It's
Glory
something you
God.
Live. And in the Laodicean Church Age, the next page over from what I was reading, the title of this part right here is called "The Overcomer's Throne." And he says, "Now then, there will not be one person who will sit on the throne of Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word."
Yes, hallelujah.
It's a living word. It's not a dead word.
Yes, it is.
So, here we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And it gets tiring sometimes.
Right,
amen. Brother Tony, sometimes we just want to lay down and say, "Lord, give me strength."
That's right.
But the Lord has an answer for that. We'll turn to the first chapter of Ephesians. And I'm going to read more than I have to here, but this is so beautiful. Ephesians 1 and 15 is where I'll start reading. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith..." Now, he heard of their faith. There was a witness. There was witnesses of their faith that was going forward. It was testified of their faith. Is there anything that testifies of your faith? Would Brother Branham say, "After I heard of your faith"? Are you one of those people? That's the way God's people is. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. We don't have to guess today.
That's right.
But we know what the hope of his calling is, and the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Where's his power toward? His power is not just blanket, but it's us toward.
Right.
It's toward us. Amen. Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now listen to this. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now here's the key to this. We're in Christ Jesus. If we overcome, he says, I have overcome. To him that overcome will I grant me to sit in my throne. Now listen to his throne. Set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above principality. Back to Ephesians 6.
Right.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and power. Ephesians 1. That the Lord Jesus Christ is in heavenly places. But this is the place that's not attainable to us. This is the place that we can go. We can get to that throne. He said it's far above principalities.
Right.
By the time even I get tired, there's anointing in this age. There's two wings that I can grab up. And I can go far above the principalities and powers.
Amen.
And busting in the politics of church and who's right and who's wrong and the thunders and the two soul and the two Lord and this and that, the return and the tenth and all of these things. All of these blasphemous names.
Right.
And I can rise far above that.
Hallelujah.
Far above principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness and high places. What are the high places? This is a high place.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
The rulers of darkness and high places. It says, don't be amazed. Satan himself is transported into a minister of light.
That's right.
So don't be alarmed if his Satan's ministers also transform themselves into ministers of light.
That's true.
I'm not saying that these brothers are Satan. But what happens is Satan transforms himself and he starts preaching just enough light to get your eye.
Right.
That's right.
And it changes one word. It's okay. It's okay to wear a little makeup. Or they'll take a quote and they say, oh, you can sit on a rock and not serve God and, you know, you can make it. Who wants to be sitting on a rock when God comes for us? When the Lord Jesus comes for me, where is he going to find me? Is he going to find me digging taters like the prophet said?
Right.
Or is he going to find me sitting on a rock saying, some preacher told me that I could just sit here and I'd be all right.
Yeah.
Well, I may just sit there and I may make it, but I'm going to be miserable.
Right.
Come on. Right.
Some people like to be miserable. Yes. That's that spirit I was talking about earlier. But far, not just above it, not just above the principalities and powers that we fight, but far above it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How do we overcome? I want to end with this right here. I've observed, now not everybody, some people think they were born angels. So this don't apply to everybody. And I know some people that never did anything wrong. I know sisters that grew up and never smoked, drank, cussed, never went out with boys, never even kissed a man until the day they were married. But those sisters like that, as much as I appreciate that life,
yes,
one day they had to come to the realization that their soul was as black as pitch.
That's right.
That
it didn't matter how long they lived like that. It didn't matter how good they was.
That's right.
Because we got a crop of young people that's growing up in the message and they think that I can just be good.
Right.
But you can't be good enough. You can't dress good enough. You can't act good enough. Because without the power of God coming in and sealing that spirit down on your inside, you're just as lost as lost.
Amen.
That's right.
There's going to be many, many men. The rich young ruler was there. And he said, I've done all these things.
Right.
I've obeyed the commandments, every one of them. Brother Brown said, you couldn't touch his life.
Right.
But he walked away heavy in his heart. And Jesus loved him.
Right.
It reminds me of these people that say, it's okay to be a homosexual. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves you if you've been married 5 times. Jesus loves you if you've done this. You can do that. You can do this. Jesus loves you. Jesus loved the rich young ruler.
That's right.
But what good did it do?
Right.
Just a few books later, we see him. He lifts his head up. And he's begging for one drop.
That's right.
One drop of water.
Right.
He said, I'm in torment. These flames that are on me. And I got to thinking the other day, that story was written 2,000 years ago. And that rich young ruler, he's still there.
Right.
Tonight, 2,000 years later, he's still in torment.
Right,
and his head's still lifted up, and he's still begging for one drop of water.
That's right.
But Jesus loved the man.
Amen.
Jesus loved him. But there's the rest of us. It was like me. I wasn't a good boy. I'm not going to go through my past, but I meet people all the time, and they say, Brother John, I was a drunkard. Or they say, I was a whoremonger. I was in alcohol. I was a drug dealer. I was this and I was that. And I try to tell them, it doesn't matter what you was. It matters what you were. Because we got an eagle. We got an eagle that flew so high.
Yes.
He didn't fly up to Luther's age. He didn't fly up to Wesley's age. He didn't fly. He got way up. When he got up to Pentecost age, he just set his wings and just flew higher and higher.
Hallelujah.
So he could see. He wasn't just seen over the next hill.
Right.
He wasn't seen over the next hill. He didn't see the next state or the next country. But he said all the way back to the beginning of time. All the way back into eternity. And then he looked this way. And he could see all the way back to that eternity. When he was looking this way and seeing eternity.
Yes.
And he looked that way and seeing eternity. He said, it's the same place.
That's right.
Amen. It's the same place. And it don't matter where you've been. It matters where you come from.
Right.
I come from God and I go to God.
Right.
Because time is just a little space in that circle of eternity.
Right.
Men never understood that until this age.
That's right.
Right.
It's like those men that gazed at the stars and they had theories and ideas. And now we got an astronaut. Brother Branham said one time, he said, the Lord took me on the astronaut ride. And what he was doing, he wasn't just coming out and saying, I'm that astronaut.
Right.
He wasn't like these men that go around saying, I'm the prophet. I'm this or I'm that. But he was meek and humble. And he told a story about the astronaut age. And then later, not to put anything on himself, but he said, the Lord let me take an astronaut ride.
Amen.
I got to thinking about our astronaut. And after Brother Branham died, they put a man on the moon. And now they got these probes on Mars. Just a few months ago, I read about the Voyager that went past Pluto. It's out of the solar system. That's our astronaut. There's not an astronaut on there, but that's what our space centers have done.
Yeah.
That's the accomplishments they've done. So I got to looking at it. What was they doing? Why did they go to the moon? And to this day, they still study those rocks they brought back. Brother Tony, they still break them up and they look at them under electron microscopes. But why? It's just a box full of rocks that they've had for 40-something years. And why are they still looking at them? They're looking for life.
That's right.
Every time you hear about I keep up the stories about the rovers. There's two rovers on Mars. There's one of them that's still going. It's been going way past what they thought it would go. And every story is about, maybe they think they could see where water used to be.
Right.
And if they could find water, then maybe they would know to go to look for something that used to be alive. Right. Or maybe still is alive.
That's right.
And I got to thinking, our astronauts have spent trillions and trillions of dollars going to the moon.
Yes.
Going to Pluto. The Voyager has been close encounters with the moons of Jupiter.
Right.
And took close pictures of it. And they're looking for life. And every one of their endeavors, they haven't found one molecule of life.
That's right.
They've studied those rocks for 40-something years from the moon, and they can't find one molecule, one atom of life. They're on Mars. And those rovers have spent trillions of dollars up there blasting rocks apart, taking electronic analysis of it, looking at it with all kinds of different light, everything they can think of, and they haven't found one molecule of life.
Right.
Well, we had an astronaut in our age, and he blasted off, and he went to another world, and he got there, and he didn't find one atom of death.
Right.
Not one atom of death. And while they're looking for life and they can't find nothing, he looked for life and he can't even find death. Not one molecule
Praise
of it.
God. Hallelujah.
Think right. about it, church.
Amen.
He went to a place that I've got representation there, and there's not one speck of death.
That's
not
right.
one
Amen.
Molecule of death. Not one thought of death.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
We got to overcome people like me. Got to overcome our past. We got to be overcomers. And he said, to him that overcome. And I hate to bring bad news to you tonight, but if you haven't overcome, you're not going to sit with him on his throne. And one of the things you got to overcome is your past.
Yeah.
Because your past will drag you down. Mm-hmm. You come to this altar, or you go to your closet, or wherever you repent, and you've got a past, and you've got a present, and you've got a future. And between you and your future is the blood of Christ. And the sins that you've committed today, you've got to go through that blood. And what we find too many people today, they're trying to drag things through that blood. Brother Tony, they try to drag pornography through that blood.
Yeah, that's right.
I know a man that's been trying for 5 years to drag cigarettes through that blood.
Right.
Claiming the baptism, the seal of the Holy Ghost, and still smoking cigarettes. I talked to him one day and he said, "Brother, I'm trying. I'm trying with all my heart." And I said, "Well, why is there a pack of cigarettes in your glove box? Why do you keep a lighter in your pocket? You're not trying." So you got to put on the whole armor of God. I told him, I said, imagine this coat is my old man that I've got to take off. This is my smoking and drinking and cussing and all those things. I got to take it off. The Bible says to put off the old man.
Right.
So here's what you're doing. You're saying, "Brother John, I'm trying to take this coat off."
That's right.
And I'm trying to tell you how to take it off. And you're saying, "Well, I really am trying."
Right.
Now who believes me? Who believes I'm really trying to take my coat off?
Right.
I'm really trying now. Brother Tony, I'm really, really trying now.
Yeah.
I said, "But you got a man that's doing this right here."
That's right.
And his arm might get hung.
That's right.
Your arm might get hung.
Right.
But you just keep working.
That's right.
Amen.
You start working it. That's
right.
Going to start.
Yes. That's right.
And
praise
you're
going
to toss that old man.
Yes.
And after you toss that old man, then you can put on the new man.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
He said, "Put on the new man."
Amen.
And that new man is Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And the thing is, you can't put Jesus over smoking.
Right.
You
right.
can't put Jesus over your old bad temper.
That's right.
You can't put Jesus over your nastiness.
Right.
You can't put Jesus over your past. Your past has to die.
Right.
It has to be
Amen.
Gone. It has to be buried. We got an eagle age. No age before this ever knew this. For thousands of years, men tried to be Christians. And they thought about the way they used to be, and it drug them down. We had a prophet in this age, and he said, "It's though you'd never done it." That's the eagle anointing. It's as though you'd never done it. So you repent, you're sincere, you're honest, and you repent, but then you still have this past. And then you got these people that testify. You got friends that say, "I remember that time we went to that party." The prophet of God said, "You never done it."
Right.
Amen.
But you got friends that are testifying against the word of God.
That's right. Right.
It's time to get new friends, friend.
Right.
Amen.
You got family you get around and you have your family get together and you start talking about the old times, and that's okay. But there's always that one sister or that one brother that wants to start talking about the old times that you buried.
Yeah.
So now you got a family member that's testifying. And if they're bringing up stuff you did, they're testifying against the message of the
enemy. Right, amen.
Amen.
But the worst thing is your memory.
Right.
Come on.
I remember those times. Way back in here. And sometimes they're not way back in there. Sometimes they're right at the front. And I have to push them back.
Amen.
I push them back with the word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
My own memory says, I remember. But then I put my hand in the air and I say, no, it's though I never done it.
Yes.
It's the bleach of the blood. It's taking those away.
It's the truth.
So my memory's testifying against the message of the hour. So which
Amen.
Do I take? Do I take my memory? Or do I take the message of the hour? I'll take the message of the hour even over my own memory.
Hallelujah.
Over my friends, over my family, over my church members. It don't matter. If I got records of it, if somebody pulls up a video of me doing something wrong, the message of the hour says that video is a lie.
Right.
Because I've never done it in the first place. And we got a message of the hour. We got a prophet. We got an evil agent can see back to the first place. And he can say, you've never done it in the first place because I seen you before you done it.
Right.
Because before the foundation of the world, your name was written in it, Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
So what we want to do is we want to take the Book of Life. Where it says every deed is written down. Every time you do good, it's written down.
Yeah.
Every evil thing you do is written down. And at the judgment, those books are opened. But I'm not counting on that book.
No.
That's right.
Amen.
Because there's another book.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That before the foundation of the world, it was written down. And then it was closed and it was sealed up.
Mm-hmm.
Before I ever did any of those deeds, it was sealed up.
Right.
Praise
That's
God.
The message of the hour. No other age had a messenger. No other preacher, no other pastor, no other teacher or evangelist, I don't care what office he holds in the message of the hour, he can't see like that eagle sees.
That's right.
If he tells you anything different
right.
than what this messenger says, let him be accursed.
Right.
Amen.
If
Amen.
I say something that's against the message of the hour, let him be accursed.
Yep. Amen.
Because I'll take this message.
Amen.
To come to the music.
Thank you, Lord.
Has God put an anointing in this age? Far above any other anointing.
Amen.
Far above any principality and power of anything that we've
right, Amen.
Jesus Christ stood one day, and I was in a church, or I was in a house out in the country one day, and I was lost as lost could be. My soul was pitch black. My thoughts were on evil continually. Way down in there was something I didn't even know was in there.
Praise the Lord.
And there was a preacher in there, and he said, Brother John, and he started telling me the very intents of my heart, and he started telling me things I'd thought about that nobody ever knew. Even my wife didn't know, and that man was standing there telling me that. Something in my heart just burst open, that seed started growing. I fell down on my feet, and I said, Lord, I remember this. A prophet of the age did this, and thank God that anointing is not gone. There's still men that's got the anointing that can discern the hearts of the people.
Amen. That's right.
It's not dead. It wasn't Amen. No stone idol that came in my life, Brother Tony. It was the Lord Jesus Christ was standing there in the flesh of a man.
That's right.
Praise God.
And
Amen.
He brought me to an altar. He brought me to a place I could repent of these things. And now that past is gone. It's dead. It's completely buried.
Hallelujah.
It's back on Satan's hands.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory to
Pray
God.
Something. Far above the fighting.
That's right.
Above the fussing. Above the tools and terrors of this life.
Amen.
Above your past. Above these preachers that's reproaching the message.
Amen.
We've got something way above those things.
Right, amen.
We got an eagle anointing. Spread your wings, little eagle. Take that anointing. That anointing does no good if you refuse it. Now the Lord's a gentleman. He won't force himself on no man.
That's right.
No one. He's a gentleman. But if you'll reach out and accept it. Brother Branham said, high hearted. Hey, you know.
Yes.
He said, there was an altar full of young people. And he said, he looked down at them and he says, when were they forgiven? Were they forgiven when they come here and started begging for it? And he said, no. He said, the moment they lifted out of their seat, the moment their hand lifted, he said, the Lord wiped it all clean. Because the word of God was preached. And they believed it. And they put it here. They didn't ridicule it and mock it. But they believed it. So many people in this hour. But preacher comes, Brother Tony, they want to get mad at him.
Right.
Poor man's been laying under the inspiration of God, things on his heart. Lord's been dealing with him on things that people's doing, and he comes out and he lays his heart out. And he's just trying to help people. And they get mad at him. People in my own family want to talk to me. Because I love them enough to tell them the truth.
Praise God.
I love them enough to tell the truth. And if telling them the truth makes them not talk to me, then Lord, so be it.
Yes, Lord.
I'm not going to sell out one word of this gospel.
Thank you, Jesus.
For wife, for mother, for dad, for nobody. As much as I love my boys sitting back here, give my very life for them, but I won't compromise this word. Those men, under that man age, they had an anointing to interpret this Bible in English. Brother Branham said that the men that worked on the King James Version, he said they were anointed of God to do that. But what happens when that anointing is gone and it's the Eagle Age and they're still trying to work under that? There's still every year there's new. If you want a Bible that doesn't say he, they got a gender neutral Bible. They got a Bible that says it's okay to be a homosexual. Whatever you want, they got a Bible for it because they're still doing it.
Yes.
But what happened? They took that anointing and they used the labor to make sure, Lord, don't let me get one wrong word. Don't let me put one punctuation mark out of place.
That's right.
And that's the way preachers used to be with this message.
That's right.
But what they've done is they traded that zeal to be correct with the message of the hour. They've traded that for compromise and inclusion. Because when you start digging in the Bible, it's inclusive. You start digging in the message of the hour, there's no place for mixed marriages.
Right.
There's no place for homosexuality. There's no place for adultery in this message. So now there's no place for makeup, televisions, and all that nonsense. Those things are against the message of the hour. But what we got now is those men that's trying to be inclusive. They're trying to include everybody.
What
about them said, draw that circle bigger. He didn't mean draw the devils in.
That's right.
He didn't mean compromise on the word. He said, you mean brothers to those people, because we don't know who's called and who's not.
That's right.
So you got to be brothers to everybody.
Lord,
don't circle them people out. You circle them in.
Right.
And people take that quote, then they start compromising on the word.
Right.
Right.
Oh, you can marry whoever you want to. You can go to the movie house. You can watch pornography. Just try to do better. Just try to do better.
Right.
This message is not about trying to do better. It's about overcoming.
Amen.
It's time for a bride to rise up and overcome.
Right.
And they said he'd have a bride in this last age and would not fail. And I'm part of it.
Amen.
If you're part of it, stand with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There's been some cut things said here. There's been some things that's hurt my heart to even have to say them.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
But he didn't call little boys to preach the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
He called men to preach the gospel. Brother Redham said, what we need today is men with backbone to sit here and call white, white, black, black, truth, truth, lies, lies.
Yes.
And he said the Holy Ghost will give a man backbone. So that proves it right there.
Yes.
If a man stands behind the pulpit and he ain't got a backbone, he don't have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Brother Redham said, without the Holy Ghost, he has no right in the pulpit until he meets God on the backside of the desert.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the backside of the desert is not a playground. A lot of people say, I'll bet God on the backside of the desert. They talk about this one damn bad day they had. The backside of the desert may be a wheelchair. The backside of the desert may be this or that. It may be something really, really. I mean, it's not a cakewalk.
That's right.
Moses was on the backside of the desert. He saw a fire of God burning up there.
Yep.
They said he climbed the mountain to where the fire was. Climbed a mountain. He didn't go out to a walking trail that was paved and had handrails and steps.
Right, come on.
That man climbed a mountain. And that's a big, I was over in the Catalina Mountains last week. And that's some rough mountains. And that'd be pretty rough to climb on foot. We were on a four-wheel drive truck. And I got to thinking about Moses. The mountain he climbed to see that fire was more than twice as tall as where I was at. And I got to thinking that man wasn't in a four-wheel drive truck. That man left a wife and children way down there in comfort.
Right.
In soft tents. And he climbed a mountain just to see what that fire was.
Yeah.
We got people who want to go across the street to hear the word of God.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, help us. Come by your heads with me. Lord, I poured out my heart. The things that you laid on my heart to say. Lord, I pray that your blessings be poured. If I've said anything that was not correct, Lord, you correct it, and I'm sorry. But I believe I've spoke the truth tonight. And if there be anyone here, I pray that they lift their hand up as we pray, lift their hand up and surrender and say, Lord, I want to overcome these things. I want to overcome the past. I want to overcome this fussing and fighting and puking. I don't want to be one of these people that the young people look at and say, I don't want to be one of them. But I want to be a person that somebody can say, I see them when they went out in the power and glory of God. Father, I pray for these people here tonight, Lord. Lord, out there's been needs and we're needy people. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint each one with the Spirit to overcome tonight, Lord. Let them see that this message is all we need, God.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you bless each one. As we leave this building tonight, we don't want to leave you here behind this Lord. We want to take you with us to our rooms,
yes,
to our houses. We want to take the fire that you've ignited in our heart. And every person that we meet on the street has to know that something is different about us.
Right, Lord Jesus.
That something's burning in our heart that we can't stand to see people dying in this dead world.
Yes,
Lord. God, we pray that you'd help each one of us tonight. Bless our pastor once again. Brother Tony, as he endeavors to lead this little flock. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen him, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
The music players and the officers in this church, Lord, I pray that you'd be with them. I see these sisters standing here that look like saints, Lord. They're trying to line up to this message, and I thank you, God, for it. Lord, I pray that you bless the young people here, God. That you put a zeal in their heart to stay with this message. For if we neglect so great a salvation, how can we escape if we want to escape? We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Have your way, thank Lord Jesus. Lead me out of
thank you, Jesus. If anybody would need prayer, we'll certainly pray for you. My stumbling over words.
Thank you, Jesus.
My slow speech. Thank you.
Precious. Jesus.
Really hard to be able to place or say, place on our lips the things that we would want to say about what we just heard. But, I'm very blessed myself. And
Amen. I
know, you know, what's been ministered here lately and what the Lord is doing in this assembly. And I think, you know, the Lord spoke to us tonight and helped us to understand the same thing. But it would do us good to remember what we heard tonight.
Yes.
It would do us good to remember that God's always had a standard He would lift up whenever there was a time. When there was a need in His church and His people, they'd fight a battle. He'd always give us something that we could rally around. That standard was something so that whenever the soldiers would get all kind of scattered in battle, if anybody's ever been in a fight like that, you know, it's just a free-for-all. It turns into it. No matter how organized you go into it, it turns into this every which way. And, you know, and when we need to be soldiers bound together, every once in a while you have to figure out a way to regroup. Well, God put that in the church as a standard lift up, and everybody would know where to go to. And so God gave us a standard now. We know right where to go to, right back to the Word of God, an evil message. That's what He's given us, and that's the problem. People aren't going right back to that original voice.
Amen.
So they stay scattered. That's what's happening. And just the scattering gets worse and worse. And so it would do us good to remember. To remember, saints, that in that dimension, where Brother Branham said that there was no words that could describe it, sublime wouldn't even touch that dimension. There was no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no old age. And in that place, in that perfect, beyond sublime dimension,
yes,
when that topic came up about him saying, well, if Paul made it in, then I'll make it in because I haven't deviated one bit,
right,
or deviated one bit from what Paul
did. Right.
You and I.
Yes.
In our form there.
Yes.
When we shouted and we hollered, we said we're resting on that.
Amen.
That's what I want to say is that if that's the way we were over there, if we said in that dimension in the presence that was there, that we're resting on what this prophet told us, why can't we do that
on
this side while we're here,
Amen,
still here? Because that's what the Bride of Christ does do right here on this side.
Amen.
And so that's what we want to continue to do. You know, the brother said a lot of things, and I know he felt like they were, some of those things were cutting, but I say praise God because they were right.
Yes.
They were true, you know, because I know that I know how I see things that I want to present to the church, that I want to present to my family, that I want to present to those that I have influence with. And I try to go into an approach kind of, you know, just kind of ease into it and just kind of lightly say and suggest. It's my manner to suggest why, well, I think it should be this way. And so, and then you find out maybe they don't take it. Maybe they don't hear it. And so then you got to kind of stiffen up what you're saying. And you're finding out, and I'm finding out that really that you, there's times where you have to just stand and absolutely with a firm backbone and say things to get people's attention.
Right.
And you have to do that. And so,
yes,
and that's what this brother has done tonight. It's God has sent him to say the things he has said tonight as a help.
Amen.
Right? As a help. So you can see that, hey, I haven't talked to this brother. But see, God has a mindset of what he
Amen.
Wants us to hear.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And so God speaks to, he told me on the phone, he said, or through texting this morning, he said, God laid something on my heart last night and I am excited about it. And so I said, praise God.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it because God knows how to speak. He still knows how to speak.
Amen.
This brother and come right along and confirm and help. And maybe with a little more backbone say the same things. And so I just say, praise God to it. But it helps me to realize the Lord really does want some things to be different in our life. He really does want us to button up and tighten up under this gospel. And put out these things that are giving us the wrong influence.
Right. Amen.
Because he still wants us to walk with him.
Right.
And that's what we got to do. We got to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and
that's
not this
right.
world. And I, you know, this brother talking about, he said, those, his son sitting back there, you know, he loved him, would give his life for him, but he won't compromise.
Right.
For them. This gospel. And that's the way I feel. I have pondered that over that very thought this week all along. And even texted it in conversation with people. I love my family. I love my friends and the different ones. But I also love my God.
Man.
And I cannot compromise the truth that I know he's given for someone else, no matter how close and how dear they are to me, I will not do that. Yeah. I thank God because He's put something in me to say that and to be able to stand and say, though it cost me everything, I don't want to do it because I know this truth and I know this one, this God whom I serve that has come down. I know Him as a person, as a reality. It's not just some mental thought. I've met Him. I know He's real. I know this word is right. I can't let go of that. Because I can see that no matter what people say, sooner or later, it all comes right back around to exactly what was said in the first place.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Exactly what's happening. This world will wind up exactly like the Word said. And when that prophet could be rise up so high, that he could look all the way back into eternity, and he could say, Brother Tim, I look back there and I see you that before the foundation of the world, you had no spot, no wrinkle. And that same prophet turned around, and he looks all the way this way into eternity, and he sees Brother Tim, he says, there's no spot,
right.
There's no wrinkle.
Man.
Well, if that's the way it was there, and if that's the way it was here, what are we worried about down here?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Man.
And that's what we've got to believe on, is to believe the Word of God, that we are a privileged people, that God
yes.
has come to us in this day and has allowed us to see those things.
Man.
Nobody
Man.
Else sees it. They don't have the eyes to see it. They've not been blessed to see it, but we have. And so what should we live by? By those things that vision of that prophet that rose up there and saw those things and brought to you those things. And I'll end by saying this. In the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, what it's talking about, the day when the Lord would come and make up His jewel, a day that would burn His oven, a day when He'd make up His jewels and He would spare those people who thought on Him and talked about Him, and He wrote a book of remembrance. He talked about how that He would spare them and that sort of thing. And in that, He talks about, He says, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall.
Amen.
Right?
And a calf in a stall wasn't left to run in the fields and go out and just, you know, eat whatever.
Right.
A calf in a stall is hand-fed by
right.
the master.
That's right. Amen.
Ye shall grow up as calves. Saints, we have forgotten what God has brought us.
Right.
Because He has come down. We are those calves that He is hand-feeding us a gospel message that all the other cattle of the field don't get. Because we are a special people.
Right.
And I've said this before, and I'll go ahead and say that. They had a special purpose for that calf. There was a special sacrifice. A special meal or a special something in the eyes of the master that special calf was raised for a time, a purpose. Right? And we'll have a sacrifice in this message. There will be a persecution in this message. There will be things that will be hard for us. But remember, we have been hand-fed a special message to be
yes.
special people for the Master's purpose.
Now,
I don't know what all it will be, but I know one thing. We'll stand on this Word no matter what the world does.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
And we should pray and say, God help us that we would have a heart for that.
Yes.
Let's just bow our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for what we've heard.
Thank You, Jesus.
Lord, we realize that a man cannot come up with these things himself.
Yes,
a man
Lord.
Cannot find a message, Lord, to a people that he can speak to a people he knows not, at a time that he knows not, and actually be a message, Lord, that would come in and dovetail with the very thing that You're trying to do with these people. We know a man cannot do that, Lord. We know that,
yes.
Lord, that perhaps that every church around the world right now, Message Church, perhaps, Lord, that You're calling them higher. I believe You are calling them to a higher
Lord position. Jesus, help
Lord,
us.
Lord, and a higher dedication, a
harder
sacrifice, but and a higher sacrifice, Lord. But yet, it has to be for us to come higher and closer to You. And Lord, I believe You're doing that. And so, God, perhaps as the ministers go forth, that's exactly what You're doing everywhere. But
yes.
tonight, Lord, we thank You because You sent Your minister this way to speak
yes,
Your words
you,
to us tonight,
Jesus.
Lord, to bring confirmation, Lord, to bless me, because
thank
I,
you,
Lord, as a person, You know, I have discouragements myself. I may not
Lord
let me seen,
Jesus.
But Lord, You know me, and You know my prayer closet, and You know how that I deal with things. And so, Lord, tonight I know that You've come back, and You have backed me up. You have flanked me, Lord, and said, you're standing right where I want You. And I thank
Jesus.
You for that, Lord.
Lord
I thank Jesus. That You still have people, Lord, can be led by Your Holy Ghost
yes.
and speak the
yes.
words that You send them to speak. And I thank You, Lord, and I, on the behalf of the people tonight, Lord, we just ask you to continue to do what you're doing in this group.
Ready, Lord Jesus.
To believe that you're just getting us ready for something great and wonderful and powerful. And I pray, God, that you would help each family and each home, Lord, to take these words. And Lord, may they somehow, with what they've heard tonight, just rally around that truth once again. Just be renewed in their strength and their courage, Lord, in the things that they've once known. Lord, even in the writings that we read in the scriptures, how that the apostles or the ministers there would have to remind the people of things that they had forgotten. Lord, how that you had done things among them. And Lord, so I ask tonight, you'd bring to remembrance all these things perhaps that we have forgotten. How that you have come, Lord, in this hour, and you brought us to be a special people for your purpose.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just ask that you would help each family and each home, each child, each parent.
Yes,
Lord, to grow in the strength of God and in the virtue that you would have them. And Lord, all this confusion, as I've been praying, all this stuff that's going on out there to try and bring distractions, Lord, may you show what that is. May you show it to be lying spirits and
things
that are just there to try and destroy your flock. We ask, God, that you would help us tonight. Lord, we commit this time into your hands. We ask that you'd go with us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, what am I saying this thing? We get ready to sing a closing song. The prophet was having a vision of the churches walking, and he saw that filthy bunch, one after another, with all the different garb, their nationalities. And they bore that nastiness, and they each had representation and all that. Yeah, they all walked by. And Brother Branham had seen that original early bride walking by. And he cried. He said, Lord, all the work I've done, all the gospel and all the preaching and the heart of I've done, is this all I had to offer? And then he heard that music.
Yes.
Onward, Christian soldier.
Amen.
He saw that beautiful bride marching to the gospel, to the word.
Praise God.
Yes.
And praise God that we know that exists. But there must have been a reason why that vision had a prophet crying.
Yeah. Right?
There must have been a reason. It wasn't the whole group that got out of line, but there were some that got out of line.
Yep.
And that prophet felt like he had to scream, get back in line.
Get back in step, yes.
Right? Yeah. Get back in line and get back in step with the march of that gospel. Mm-hmm. And so there had to be a reason why God had that man see that vision that way and him to declare that way. And so it would do us good to ask ourselves, are we in line?
Amen.
Are we marching?
Amen.
In the gospel God has given us. God bless you. It's been wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And
Thank you, Jesus.
You go. We're going to plan service here for in the morning. I don't know what's going to come down this way or whatever, but if weather starts moving in early or something and we can't, well, we'll be getting in touch with everyone. But we plan on having service. The brother plans on being here. And perhaps the Lord will let us have service again in the morning, and if the bad stuff comes, maybe it won't be till later on. But again, as always, if something's happening, you work according to your own personal conviction, your own personal comfort zone about traveling on the roads and that sort of thing. Keep all that in mind and pray that the Lord guide us correctly on all those things. But we do plan on having service in the morning, and I'm looking forward to what else the Lord has.
Amen.
So God bless you.
Praise
God.
Praise
the name of the Lord.
Solo spread your wings.